Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 1, we were talking about the time of the year that we celebrate the birth of Christ, and some events and circumstances surrounding His birth and our celebration. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The first title that was ascribed to Jesus was in Matthew 2:2, King of the Jews. Long before that, however, He was the King of creation. For God is the King of the earth. He's King of all the earth, a great King above all gods. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. The Psalms tells us in Psalm 47 and in Psalms 93. He is also King of redemption, providing salvation for the world He created. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth, Psalm 74:12 states. The Father hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:13 and 14. Yes, my friend, He's not only King of all the worlds, but also King of all the ages. He is my King of old, and also King forever. He is the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. 1 Timothy 1:7. My friend, He is the King of saints in Revelation 15:3. He's the Lord of hosts, my King and my God in Psalms 84:3. Indeed, He is the blessed and only potentate, means Pope. He's the only potentate, the King of kings, and Lord of lords, 1 Timothy 6:15. Therefore, let His citizens say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Well, my friend, that is very precious to me, and I hope that's precious to you as well. I hope that means a lot to you, just like it means to me. I find it also interesting that on the birth of Jesus Christ, you know, he was born in the worst conditions. Adam was created in the best condition. Adam fell, and Jesus passed the test. What was the difference? Well, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And it's interesting because I'm recording this in the month of November of 2008, and I'm preparing to go to Israel, and I'm going to be there, Lord willing, December 1st through the 9th, and I'll be, while we're there, visiting the little town of Bethlehem. You know, the date of Christ's birth, as it's observed in the Western world, is December 25th. There have been other dates that have been observed at various times and places. Some places it's been in January, others in March, and even in May. But the truth of the matter is, no one really knows. In fact, the church did not observe the birth of Christ for the first two centuries. The date in late December, which was eventually adopted by Western society, coincided with the various pagan festivals held in connection with the winter solstice. A significant clue, however, is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, shepherds were almost certainly not abiding in the fields watching over flocks in late December. Okay, they don't. The sheep would have been gathered into the sheepfolds long before that. Another clue is the recorded presence of the angel of the Lord to announce the birth of the Savior, along with the multitude of the heavenly host. The angel leading the host was likely Michael, the archangel. The angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, was sent to bear individual messages to Zacharias and Mary, but Michael is the one seen commanding the angelic hosts. It may be significant that the ancient church in Britain observed a date called Michaelmas, or Michael Sent, and it was known as the Feast of Michael and the Angels. And this date, by the way, is still recognized in England's legal system, is September 29th, a date when it's reasonable to say that the Jewish shepherds would be in the fields with their flock. Now, if that just might be the date of Christ's birth, then December 25th, 9 months earlier, could well be the real date of the incarnation, when the eternal God left heaven to take up residence as a special seed in the Virgin's womb. Wow, isn't that something? We don't know that for sure, but it is worthy of thought, I believe. Now notice also the incomparable work and accomplishment made for us here in Revelation 1, and continuing in verse 5 and even into verse 6, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Unto him that loved us. And my friend, he loved us even before we were born. He loved us even before the world began. In 1 Peter 1:18-20, we read this. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, the word verily means truly, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Even before the foundation of the world, his love was that he was going to come and die for the sins, even before he created. Wow. And so let me just insert this. The law could not save a man's soul. The law was not intended to do so. The law could only give the parameters of a holy and just God and tell us the ultimate level of justification and righteousness. No man, born of Adam, could fulfill the law. The law judges all men under sin, my friend. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and God's glory is his Son, Jesus Christ. We all come short of Jesus. Sometimes people say, you know what, I'm better than so-and-so is in your church. If he's going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. Well, the Lord doesn't compare you with so-and-so. And by the way, why do you always have to compare yourself with a hypocrite? Why don't you compare yourself with that good, godly, separated soul winner? Because you would be like a mouse beside an elephant. So, my friend, it's not that you're compared with anybody. You're only compared with one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, just like me, you fall far short. Now, God in his great love, before the foundation of the world, loved us so much that he decided he would become a man himself. You got to understand, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, but God is a spirit. In John 1:14 it says, and the Word, who is God, by the way, and the Word was God, in John 1:1, and the Word, God, again, who is a spirit, and the Word was made flesh God in the flesh. By the way, that's what the word in Matthew 1:21, the name that's given to Jesus, Emmanuel. It means God with us. So, measured in total and having fulfilled the law, it judged Jesus Christ righteous. That's why we read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, Jesus Christ the righteous, before the foundation of the world, loved you so much, he already designed a way to pay for all sin for all time. He only could be a sacrifice for our sin and meet the laws, that is, the law's demand of a perfect sacrifice. You and I could not be that. And it goes on to tell us he washed us from our sins in his own blood. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a song, there's a hymn that says, Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. And on we could go about songs, There's power in the blood. Yes, my friend, the blood does the work. You must receive and allow the cleansing of the blood. You see, and it was his love that simulated action. We find in Hebrews 9:22, it says, In almost all things, are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. No remission of sins without the shedding of blood, my friend. Now just understand that it was the blood of Jesus Christ that saves you from your sins. Nothing else. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of work, lest any man should boast. Salvation is of the Lord. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.